Inshallah, there'll be a short lesson of tafsir, inshallah. Brothers participate, inshallah, it's beneficial. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ اعتزلتموهم وما يعبدون إلا الله فأووا إلى الكهف ينشر لكم ربكم من رحمته ويهيئ لكم من أمركم مرفقا وترى الشمس إذا طلعت تزاور عن كهفهم ذات اليمين وإذا غربت تقرضهم ذات الشمال وهم في فجوة من ذلك من آيات الله من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وتحسبهم أيقاظا وهم رقود ونقلبهم ذات اليمين وذات الشمال وكلبهم باسط ذراعيه بالوصيد لو اطلعت عليهم لوليت منهم فرارا ولملئت منهم رعبا صدق الله العظيم. Inshallah, continuing from last week's tafsir session where we were talking about Ashabul Kahf, and after the Ashabul Kahf they stood in front of their people and they gave a sermon, talk in the court of the people. And they said, look, we believe in one Allah. We believe in one Allah and you people worship multiple deities, multiple gods. Bring some proof for this. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring your evidence. Believing in one Allah, tawheed, oneness, this is common sense. Anything which goes against common sense needs some evidence. To believe in one Allah, because the first concept when a Muslim or a mu'min or a muwahid or a person who believes, the first concept a person has to grasp is the wujud of Allah, existence of Allah. A person has to arrive at that. Okay, Allah exists. Allah exists. Allah exists, and not only does Allah exist, Allah is wajibul wujud. Allah has to exist. It's not possible, logically, for a creator of the universe to not exist. First conclusion. Second conclusion that a person can logically, aqlan, just using the aql arrive at, is that the Allah who exists is only one. The creator of the universe who exists is only one. And this is the main lesson. Because you see, wujud, existence of Allah, the kuffar of Makkah, the Quraysh of Makkah believed in. But what they did not believe in was that Allah is alone. They believed Allah has helpers. Although they regarded these people as much lower than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they regarded them to be helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Straight away Surah Al-Ikhlas, it broke all of this. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. You believe Allah exists? Know that Allah is one and He is alone. يَكْتَى. So this concept, you people are saying that there are multiple gods. And remember, this was the era, as most scholars of tafsir say, of Decius, the Roman emperor. And it's famous, if you look in the books of history, that Decius was a tyrant emperor. And the Roman emperors, in the early days before they became Christian, Emperor Constantine, and before his time, they were extremely harsh against the Christians. Extremely harsh. Christians as in the people who actually followed Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, before they changed the religion. So Decius was known for persecuting the Christians of the time. He was known for that. And in this city, everybody was according to the way the emperor wanted, on the Roman religion of worshipping many gods. The Romans had many gods that they would worship. The Roman gods are there, like the Norse gods and the Roman gods and the Greek gods. We know they all had, so the names of the planets, I think, are named after the Roman gods, isn't it? Jupiter and Saturn and all of these. They're named after the Roman gods. So this is what they do, happy. If you believed in the same religion they believed in, you were happy. If you were a Christian or you believed in one Allah, you were causing corruption. You were causing fitna. You were causing problems amongst the people, and he would have you persecuted, and in many occasions he would have you killed. So these people said, look, this is the religion we believe in. And the court, they passed this judgment that, you know what, if these people do not leave their deen, they will be killed. So they fled from there. And they fled knowing that if we stay here, we're going to be killed anyway. So we might as well leave this land of kufr and land of shirk and go to a place and, you know, entrust our affairs in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll set out and we'll decide what we do tomorrow. So when they set out, they took shelter in this kahf, in this refuge. So they were talking to each other. وَإِذِ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ. They're talking to each other now. This is a conversation amongst this group of youngsters. وَإِذِ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ. Now that you've separated, now that you have distanced yourself, now that you have left, فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. وَإِذِ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Now that you have separated yourselves, and everything that they worship apart from Allah, you have separated yourselves. اعتزال. اعتزال is separate. Yeah? That's why in history you had a group called the Mu'tazila. Mu'tazila. Isolate, move away, separate. And the founder of this group, the Mu'tazila, his name was Wasil bin Ata. And he was actually a student of Sayyidina Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi alayhi. And then he had this huge, you know, disagreement with Sayyidina Hassan Basri. And he said, I'm not going to accept what you're saying. And he left his gathering. So Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Wasilu i'tazala anna. He has separated himself from us. And from that time, Wasil bin Ata and his group were called the Mu'tazila. They became a huge sect in Islam. Very, very dangerous, that caused so many problems for the Muslims. Anyway, this is i'tizal, separating. And now that you have separated yourselves, وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. And you've left all the idols that your people worship, all the false gods that your people worship apart from Allah. فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. Now take refuge, take shelter in the cave. You have to take shelter in the cave. And this is a sunnah. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he left Makkah al-Mukarramah, for 3 days and three nights, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took refuge in the cave. When India, when the British had colonized India, and you had the ulama of India who kind of, revolted or kind of stood up against the British, then there was a battle took place, the Battle of Shamili. And some scholars took part in that battle, and they were defeated. So the surviving soldiers, the surviving ulama, they were scholars. And it was famous that the British, one of the main groups that they targeted with the ulama. It's a famous statement that there was not a single tree except that there was an alim hanging off it. They targeted them. That we are trying to westernize and modernize the people, and the greatest fear and the greatest threat against modernization, westernization, secularization are these ulama. These guys are holding the people back. These are the ones saying, no, 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 no. Don't, if you start becoming modernized, secularized, first you'll start with the clothes, and then you'll start with the education, and eventually you'll end up with the mind. And then a secular, liberal mindset, where you start questioning about Allah, about deen. Is this even necessary? Oh, it's Muslims, Christians, everybody's exactly the same. Well, everybody can get to Jannah. If you're a good person, you can get to Jannah. You don't need to worry about it. And you had a lot of products of the secularization of the Muslims of India, like the famous Sir Sayyid Ahmed Khan and Aligarh and all of this stuff, where there was this new version of Islam that was created. A new version of Islam, where things like Jannah and Jahannam were nothing. What was Jannah? Jannah is Allah's happiness. Jahannam is Allah's anger. Everything in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala talks about Jannah and Jahannam is just metaphorical expressions. There's no reality to it. These type of things. Whatever the mind doesn't understand, reject it. It's very similar to the Mu'tazila. That's why they say Sayyid Ahmed Khan and the Aligarhi kind of strand that went off was literally in line with the mindset of the Mu'tazila. It's the same mind. I think I'm going off on a tangent. So وَإِذِ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُهُمْ. Now that you have separated yourselves, taking shelter in the cave. When these scholars, when these ulama took shelter in the cave, one of the great scholars, after 3 days he came out and he said, it is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to stay no longer than 3 days in the cave, in shelter. Sunnah. Even in that situation, taking the sunnah so seriously, the Nabi ﷺ did take shelter in the cave from the enemy. But how long did he take shelter for? 3 days. He said, the enemy is still here. Why are you coming out of the cave? He said, well, it's sunnah only to stay for 3 days. Now Allah Ta'ala will look after us. The same way Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left. So the emphasis of sunnah was given. Subhanallah, if you read the letters of Mujaddid Al-Fithani Rahmatullahi Alayhi, you see such emphasis of the sunnah. He even talks about things like, you know, in sajda position, the fingers should be closed. Sajda position, fingers should be closed. Every other part of time of salah, the finger should be open. In sajda, the finger should be tight, like this. And he says, he highlights the importance of that, that is a sunnah which you should never leave. That even that has its barakah, it has its virtues. Every single sunnah of the Prophet, to the letter, to the T, how did the Prophet ﷺ do this action? Until I don't know it, I won't do it. Until I don't know how the Prophet ﷺ did this action, I won't even do it. I'll leave it to a side until I can figure out what the sunnah is. And this is how they were, so particular. So, فَأُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. Take refuge, take shelter in the cave. يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. Your Lord will shower you, scatter over you, extend His mercy to you. وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. And He will create some ease in this matter of yours. They're telling each other, we've left the people, we've only done it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Go to the cave, take shelter in the cave, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's mercy will surely come. Mirfaq, some narmi, some softness, some kindness. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will show you some kindness, some softness. What does that mean? Normally mirfaq is a place of comfort. Place of comfort. That when a person wants to take shelter somewhere, they need some food, they need some, you know, shelter, some warm bedding, this is called mirfaq. That we've left our people, we're in a cave. Of course, what we do need is food. What we need is shelter. What we need is refuge. But our people are not going to give. Our people are going to kill us. And we don't know where else to go. Trust in Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will give you that comfort, that aram. That aram ka saman. You know, this the comfort that you require, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will open the doors for that. Take shelter in the cave. Don't worry about it. وترى الشمس إذا طلعت. I put this point there. Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala made a way out for them, turning the cave into a place of comfort and safety. So I made this du'a, that trust in Allah, go and take shelter in the cave. Allah Taala will create safety for you. And what happened? Cave. Cave is cold. It's in the mountains, high in the mountains. That place became so soft and warm for them that how long did they sleep? 309 years. A place from where no one will think any kind of comfort or ease will be there. Allah Ta'ala make it so comfortable for them that subhanAllah, they slept like a mu'min sleeps in his grave. And he goes to his grave and he sleeps, and it's the day of Qiyamah, and he said, who woke me up? When the angel of death says, Nam ka nawmatil arus. Sleep like a newly married person is sleeping. That's what the angel of death says to the munkar and nakir, say to the mu'min, Nam ka nawmatil arus. Sleep like a newly married man. So much happiness, I'm married. That happiness is the best sleep. That's how the believer will sleep in the qabr. That's how the Ashab al-Kahf slept. They couldn't even know 309 years had passed. We think 309 years, subhanAllah, 100 years ago was happening, World War I. Okay? 100 years ago, World War I. 200 years ago was happening, the French, Industrial Revolution, and Allah knows best. 300 years ago was happening. Such a long time ago they slept that whole time. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ Allah Ta'ala says, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ And you would have seen the sun. If you were to look at the cave when they were sleeping, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ You would have seen the sun. إِذَا طَلَعَتْ When it's rising, تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ When it's rising, so imagine the cave is here. When the sun is rising, it's passing by the cave, it's not going directly over the cave. So you would have seen, if you looked carefully, Allah Ta'ala is saying, you would have seen the sun is rising, and then it bends to the side and it goes over the cave. Matlab, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is not allowing the sun to go directly over the cave, because otherwise the rays of the sun are going to shine on these people, and their sleep will be disturbed. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ And when the sun is setting, you would see it going towards the left side of the cave. Matlab, it's going up and then it goes to the right. When it's going down, it goes to the left. A person, if they looked, they would have seen this spectacle. They would have seen it with their own eyes. وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ Whereas they were in an open, spacious part of the cave. Allah Ta'ala is saying they were in a kahf. Kahf is a big cave. And they were not in the hidden corner of the cave, a cranny nook or cranny of the cave. They were in the middle, and there were seven of them. It will come, the number will come. Seven of them sleeping. But even then, there were so many people, such a chance of... But still, not a single sun ray would fall on any of them. Allah Ta'ala would make sure the sun did not even touch them. Yeah? ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ This is from the signs of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This is just a small sign from Allah's signs. Seven people, human beings. How Allah Ta'ala changed the nizam, the system of the universe, so that their sleep is not disturbed. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِي Whoever Allah gives hidayah to, whoever Allah guides, he is the one who is truly guided. Matlab, hidayah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Human beings, you're weak. You have no strength, you have no ability. Allah chooses to guide someone, subhanallah, the whole universe is nothing in front of that person. The whole world and its power and its strength is nothing in front of that person because they have Allah. And وجد الله وجد كل شيء. Whoever has Allah has found everything, and whoever has lost Allah has lost everything. ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. And whoever Allah Subhanahu wa Taala takes astray, Allah does not write hidayah for, Allah does not write guidance for. فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. You will not find for them a guiding mentor, someone who will help them, someone who will guide them. Wali, protector, helper, friend. Murshid, who will hold your hand and tell you this is the right path. Stay here. Don't go that way. So one is a friend who says, do what you want. I'll help you, do what you want. You're going to get knocks and bumps and here and there. But then you have a wali, murshid. Every time he sees you going the wrong way, he says, no, you can't go that way. So Allah Ta'ala says, this is what happens with the believers. Every time they're going astray, Allah Ta'ala will pull them back onto the right track. And whoever Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has not written hidayah for, they will go off and off and off and off. Allah Ta'ala protect us. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, look, if you looked at them, you would have seen, subhanallah, that the sun is missing them out when it's rising, and the sun is missing them out when it's setting. وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ And you would have considered them to be awake. You would have thought that they were awake. وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ Whereas they were sleeping. Allah, when you looked at them, the ulama of tafsir say, when you looked at them, their eyes, Allah Ta'ala kept them open. They were sleeping, but their eyes are open. You see, some people sleep with their eyes open, isn't it? Not fully open, but they sleep with their eyes half open. Is this guy sleeping or is he awake? It happens. You see, some people sleep like this. I don't know if anyone's seen it. I've seen it. Their eyes were fully open. So وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا Allah Ta'ala is saying, you would have thought they were awake, although they were fast asleep, with their eyes open. This was a means of protection. All of these are now protections. Protection. So that people don't come inside, and people don't disturb their sleep. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ And we would turn them over towards the right, and then we would turn them over towards the left. The ulama say, لِأَلَّا تَأْكُلَ الْأَرْضُ أَجْسَادَهُمْ So that the earth did not eat up their bodies. Naturally a system, so because a body would position in that place for a long time, the earth might start absorbing the body. Allah Ta'ala would make it such that the bodies would turn. So ulama say twice a day, in the morning and in the evening, they would just palatna. They would turn to the side so that their bodies are not devoured by the earth. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعِيهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ وَكَلْبُهُمْ And their dog, you know the dog that traveled with them? Basitun, you sat with its arms extended. You know when a dog sat in guard position, you know, like this? He was sitting like this. Also, he looked wide awake, sitting like that, but he was also fast asleep. So if someone looked at the dog, you know, like if you go to Trafford Centre and you see the fake lion statues and things like that, just like that. They're statues. The dog was like that, a real big dog in front of the cave. Allah Ta'ala says, Basitun ذِرَاعَيْهِ. His arms, dogs don't have arms, meaning the first two, the front legs were extended. بِالْوَصِيدِ, at the entrance of the cave. Meaning he was not inside the cave with them. There's another protection. That if someone looked at the mouth of the cave, they'd say, oh, there's a dog there, I'm not going anywhere near there. Scary looking dog. Another point the ulama say from this is that the dog was not allowed to be inside, because when a dog is inside with the people, angels of mercy do not come inside. This is what we know in the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says three things. If they are in the house, the angels of mercy do not enter. Kalbun, a dog. Suratun, images, pictures. Pictures of people. If they're in your home, the angels of mercy do not enter. And a person who is in the state of janabah, major ritual impurity. Person needs a fard ghusl. They're in major impurity. Husband and wife have had marital relations or whatever else. Jay, they are not bathing. They're still in the state of janabah. Until they do not bathe, the angels of rahmah do not come into the house. Three places where the angels of mercy do not come. And one of them in the dog. That's why Allah Ta'ala is saying the dog was outside. He was protecting them. He was with them. And like I mentioned, many ulama say that this dog will be one of those animals that will be allowed entry into Jannah. It's a list of them. The famous three are the dog of Ashabul Kahf, and the Naqa, the she-camel of Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam, and the third one is the Hudhud, the bird of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. These are three famous ones, but there are the long list of animals. Even then, even though it was chosen, even though it was with these pious people, it was not allowed to sit in the cave, it had to be outside the cave. So even Islamically, there are some types of dogs you're allowed to keep. Sheep dog and, you know, hunting dog and guard dogs and these type of things. But they always have to be outside of the house, you're not allowed to keep them inside of the house. لَوْ اطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, if you were to look at them, لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا, if you were to discover them, if you were to look at them, لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا, you would have run away from them out of fear. وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا, you would have become filled with رُعْب, awe. Awe, رُعْب, رُعْب, wouldn't make it a رُعْب. If you saw them, you would have become filled with awe, with dread. What is awe? What is رُعْب? رُعْب is a natural quality Allah Ta'ala gives to the pious people. Ek wata in Urdu they say, رُعْب دَالْنَا. Don't talk to me, don't look at me. You know, like trying to make yourself look scary. And one is natural رُعْب. That person just feels, oh, you know, there's something about this person. It creates respect and it creates muhabba. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba say what? مَنْ رَآهُ بَدِيهَةً هَابَهُ. Whoever saw him for the first time, they'd be filled with awe. However, وَمَنْ خَالَطَهُ مَعْرِفَةً أَحَبَّهُ. Whoever sat with him, spoke with him, talked to him, they fell in love with him. They first saw him رُعْب. And the Prophet ﷺ said, نُصِرْتُ بِالرُّعْبِ مَسِيرَةَ شَهْرٍ. I have been helped with رُعْب. Allah has protected me with رُعْب the distance of 1 month. My enemies 1 month distance away will feel awe from me and fear from me. Naturally Allah has placed this رُعْب. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had رُعْب. Persians and the Romans, when they were putting their children to sleep, they would say, Umar is coming if you don't go to sleep. You know, to put Sayyidina Umar, such a رُعْب Allah had given him. It's رُعْب, naturally. Allah Ta'ala is saying, لَوْ اطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, if you saw them, لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا, you would have surely fled from them. وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا, you would have become filled with رُعْب. All of these are just protections, so that nobody disturbs them, nobody comes near them. Allah Ta'ala protected them by making their appearance awe-inspiring. Allah turned them from side to side to protect their bodies from decay. Even their dog's position at the entrance served as additional protection. Inshallah, I think we'll do one more ayah, inshallah. وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ قَالُوا رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ فَبَعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِقِكُمْ هَذِهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا فَلْيَأْتِكُمْ بِرِزْقٍ مِّنْهُ وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ وَلَا يُشْعِرَنَّ بِكُمْ أَحَدًا. وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ, after they had stayed asleep for so many years, in this manner بَعَثْنَاهُمْ, we raised them up, we gave them life again, we woke them up. لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ, so that they may ask each other. The ulama say this lam is not lam ta'leel. The reason why we woke them up is so they ask. The reason why Allah woke them up is so that the people learn a lesson. It becomes an ayah, a miracle. That a miracle that happened, so people recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one thing that happened from them being woke up is that they started to ask each other. لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ Started to ask each other. How long have we been sleeping? قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ One person from amongst them, he said, كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ How long have you been sleeping? Same conversation will happen on the day of Qiyamah. People of Jannah will have the same conversation. People of Jahannam will have the same conversation. People of A'raf, the people of the heights, those who are neither in Jannah, neither in Jahannam, because their good deeds and bad deeds are exactly the same, will have the same conversation. How long? How long were we in the dunya? Right now we know exactly, minutes, days. But subhanAllah, you ask a 50-year-old person, 40-year-old person, 60-year-old person, how quickly did your life go by? It was so quick. And in the Akhirah, it will be like a memory in our mind. Yes. Because thousands of years, hundreds of years, even us, even the people who all died before us, they're all waiting for us. Everyone from Adam alayhi salam till now is waiting for you and I. And when we go in our graves, we're going to be waiting for our children, our grandchildren, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Imam Mahdi, and all the rest of them till the day of Qiyam. We're going to be waiting. That's Barzakh, waiting room. It's going to feel like we were here for a few minutes and now we're just waiting for an eternity and then Akhirah. So this dunya will be like a memory in our mind. And ajeeb, that on the basis of this memory, we will either get Jannah or Jahannam. On the basis of this tiny, tiny, tiny time we spent in this dunya, a person will either achieve high levels of Jannah or the pits of Jahannam. Such a short time. A person is going to be in Barzakh saying, Ya Allah, what is this? I'm here forever. And I was in dunya for a few minutes. Could I have not used that time wisely? Could I not have sacrificed my sleep? Had some less food? Stay away from sin? And then all of this would have been so easy for me. I was such a fool. I was such a foolish person. What did I do? For those few moments of life, I lost everything. I just wanted to enjoy. I just wanted to be happy. I just wanted nice things. Yeah. Similarly, we woke them up, يَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ So they can ask each other. One of them said, كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ How long have you stayed here? قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ They said, you know what? A group of them said, we think we've been here for one day or part of a day. Doesn't seem that long. يَوْمًا, one full day, maybe we've overslept the whole day we've been sleeping. أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ or part of a day. So they looked out and it was nighttime. They said, you know, we came into the cave in the morning, it's nighttime, probably slept for a full day. We've had a long nap. You know, full day. قَالُوا رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ And then some others said, your Rabb knows best how long you have stayed. Allah knows best how long you've stayed. So they say after this conversation, very quickly they finished it. فُزُلْ بَاتِ چُوْرْدُوْ يَا How long have you stayed? Okay, we were interested, but then after that, forget it. Move on to important things. Allah knows best how long we stayed. It's not a necessary conversation. From this, the ulama say that unnecessary conversation should be minimized. Person should not spend a long amount of time talking about something that does not have any relevance to your deen, to your dunya, to your akhirah, to anything. How long we stayed in the cave? It's something that you're curious about, but it's not something that you need to spend too much time on. Move on to something which is important. رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ Your Rabb knows best how long you stayed. Move on. فَبَعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِقِكُمْ هَذِهِ Send one of you with these few silver pieces that you have. Send one of your members with these few silver pieces. Wariq, silver piece. In those days, the currency was gold and silver. When you went to the shop to buy, you'd use silver pieces or gold pieces. Wariq is silver pieces. إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ Send one of your people to the city. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا Let him check for which is the most halal food, most pure food. They all worship idols in our city. They all worship false gods. If they're Romans, they're worshipping Jupiter and Saturn and all of this. Go there and find the most halal food. We know there are some people who believe in Allah, but they keep the iman quiet. Find the meat that they've done zabah, they've slaughtered. Or don't even get meat. Get some bread, get something else. But the food has to be halal. Even in this situation, their concern is the food that you bring, make sure you check carefully, okay, it's halal food, pure food. Some ulama say from this, Azka ta'aman actually means tasty food. Find some tasty food. And they mention from here that tasty food is, you know, there's nothing wrong with tasty food. If a person has delicious food, tasty food, there's nothing wrong with it.
Like Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullahi alayhi, would say that إِذَا وَجَدْنَا طَعَامًا أَكَلْنَا أَكْلَ الرِّجَالِ. If we find food to eat, then we eat like men. We eat properly. وَإِذَا فَقَدْنَا طَعَامًا صَبَرْنَا صَبْرَ الرِّجَالِ. And when we don't have food, we have sabr like men. So you have food, eat properly. Allah has given ni'mah, eat. And if you don't have food, have sabr, have patience like Allah Ta'ala wants you to have. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ya Allah, I want to have food one day so I can be grateful to you. And one day I don't have food so I can have sabr. So both sides, shukr and sabr. So find that food which is the most purest. فَلْيَأْتِكُمْ بِرِزْقٍ مِّنْ. So he should bring some food from there. وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ. Go secretly. Go cautiously. Let him be exceptionally cautious. وَلَا يُشْعِرَنَّ بِكُمْ أَحَدًا. Don't let anyone discover you. Don't let anyone find out who you are. Can I do the last ayah? We'll finish this because it's connected. Inshallah, everyone got sabr with the last ayah, inshallah. I just mentioned that awakening was to show Allah's power. This is a very important point. You know, in that time, in the time of this Emperor Decius, one of the biggest topics, and there was a man there, Theodore. He was some Roman academic scholar or something like this. There was a huge dialogue and discussion to prove and to disprove that people can live after death, life after death can exist. It was on everybody's minds, everybody was talking about it, discussions were happening about it, that we don't understand how life after death can happen. In this climate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show a sign. If I can make someone go to sleep for 309 years, impossible, why can I not give you life after death? The sign that happened in that climate is relevant to that time. So this last ayah, inshallah. إِنَّهُمْ إِنْ يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ يَرْجُمُوكُمْ أَوْ يُعِيدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ وَلَنْ تُفْلِحُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. If these people, and he says, go secretly, don't be very discreet, because if they find out about you, if they discover you, if they come to know of you, يَرْجُمُوكُمْ, they will stone you. From here the ulama say the verdict that was passed in the court was if these boys don't leave Islam, they should be stoned to death. And it was a normal thing in those days. So even in Islam, in certain aspects, it was kept as a capital punishment. In certain aspects, when a crime was so despicable in sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with a very normal punishment that would be carried out. أَوْ يُعِيدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّةٍ. Either they will stone you to death, or they will force you to go back to their deen. They will force you to leave your religion. وَلَنْ تُفْلِحُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. And if you do that, if you leave your deen and you go back to idol worship, you will never ever be successful. So the point is, you have to be very careful. Caution is normal. Caution is natural. You know, to be fearful is natural of something that can cause you harm. To adopt measures that... Tawakkul, it's part of tawakkul as well. In the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that tie your camel and have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It goes hand in hand. You do that which you are able to do, at the same time leave the rest to Allah. If you don't do anything, you say that Allah is going to feed me, Allah is going to clothe me, Allah is going to look after my family, I'm going to sit on my bottom, nothing's going to happen. That's not the sunnah, that's not the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Chalo, inshallah, I think we'll stop there. Allah ta'ala give us all the correct understanding. I'm going to go to the next one.